This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. Happy New Year and welcome to another year of the Toastmasters Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we're going to start off the year with a fantastic interview. Ryan, who are we speaking with?
We are speaking today with Colleen Plimpton. Colleen has appeared on numerous TV and radio programs, including WTNH, Good Morning America, and PBS. She pens the weekly gardening column for the Danbury News Times, teaches at New York Botanical Garden, lectures widely, and writes for publications such as Green Prints, The Litchfield Review, People's Places and Plants, Connecticut Gardener, and The Toastmaster. Her garden memoir, Mentors in the Garden of Life, was issued by Parkeast Press in May of 2010. Colleen's article entitled Enthusiasm, The Cure for the Common Speech, appeared in the November 2010 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Colleen Plimpton, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Colleen.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you with us. Colleen, are you feeling enthusiastic about speaking with us and thousands of listeners from around the world today?
Absolutely. I'm always enthusiastic about speaking.
It shows on your face, at least on the picture that we're looking at.
So let's get right into it, Colleen. I know the idea for your article was inspired by a failure of technology that you experienced at a speaking event. Could you just briefly share with us what went wrong, how you overcame it, and what you learned in the process?
A learning experience, to be sure. My lectures are often accompanied by PowerPoint, and my digital projector did not work that day. And the reason it didn't work was because I had the wrong bulb. So lesson learned, A, check and recheck one's equipment, and B, make sure you've got the proper bulb. Once I realized that that wasn't going to work, that I wouldn't have my accompanying slides, I knew I had to go to Plan B, and you guys, I always have a Plan B. I'm a lecturer who specializes in garden and green themes, so often my lectures actually are in heavy canvas bags. I bring show-and-tell items to accompany my lectures, and I always bring a backup lecture just in case something untoward happens, a power outage, a hurricane, whatever. So I did have a backup, but I decided that I was going to use the props that I brought along. And I knew that with enough interest generated from me going to my audience, that I could do just as good a lecture, even though I didn't have the pretty pictures. And you know what? I could, and I did.
All right.
Fantastic. Now, Colleen, you say in your article that zeal for the topic keeps the audience awake and engaged. And I don't think too many of us would argue with that. That seems pretty straightforward. But you also claim that a speaker's zeal can actually help the audience retain the message. How does that work?
Well, what I try and do is make sure that I've got a connection with the audience. Many of the people I lecture to are people who have similar interests to me, who are sort of in the same range, age range as me. So I go out and I'm going to talk about plants, I'm going to talk about trees, but I'm also going to liken them to, for instance, teenagers. And everybody's got an awkward teenager story. And when I talk about plants who aren't really growing the way they should grow in the garden, I bring in a teenager analogy. And that gets their interest. I find that if I can establish a common bond, and sometimes that's just with a smile, with a wink, with a funny gesture that I might make with one of my small statues that I bring along to my lectures. Sometimes it's a mixture of emotion and humor. I find that when I talk to audiences, they don't want to hear fact after fact after fact. They want to hear the human aspect of what I'm discussing with them. And so I will use anecdotes and experiences from my life that they might be able to connect with. And they often do.
Mm-hmm. So is it safe to say that telling these stories tend to generate some more natural enthusiasm as opposed to reading a list of facts?
Absolutely. People want to be entertained. And I think that's one thing that we speakers forget, that we are there to inform, are also there to entertain. People want to learn, but they want to learn and they retain the information better if they learn it in an amusing manner, if they can kind of hang that information on an anecdote or a little story that the speaker said. It kind of gives them a little peg that they can put that information on and then fetch it back when they need it.
Colleen, I think if many of us were to close our eyes and try to picture a presentation that just exudes enthusiasm, we might conjure up this image of a speaker who's just high intensity from start to finish. But I know that's not exactly your idea. You suggest tempering your talk with highs and lows. How can we do that as presenters?
One of the most valuable tools is to use a pause. After I've given some what I consider to be important information and maybe back that up with a colorful slide, I'll pause and I'll see how the audience is receiving that. That's one of the lower enthusiastic moments. I will also ask a question and people will sort of go back within themselves for just a couple of seconds and they'll reflect on how this particular thing is doing in their garden or what they do about this particular critter in their yard. And just those very important pauses or moments of reflection. And I think every lecture ought to have them. It can't just be the speaker speaking at those 200 people. It's got to be interactive. It's got to be back and forth. So sometimes what I'll do is actually step into the audience. I won't stay behind that lectern all the time. I'm going to actually be with my audience, be a part of them. I'm going to make sure that I talk to all of them, that my eye contact is really good, back of the room, front of the room, sideways, you name it. I'm going to be part of them while I'm delivering my lecture.
Along those lines, you talk in your article about asking for audience participation and then rewarding that participation, maybe by handing out small prizes.
That's right, I do.
I've been to a presentation before where there was the person presenting was actually giving out $1 bills to the audience.
That sounds like a bribe to me.
That was exactly my question. I wonder, yeah, is there a fine line between engaging the audience to keep their attention and bribing them?
I'll tell you what, if you pay attention and if you laugh every now and then, I'll throw each one of you a fin at the end.
Well, it's unbelievable. In this particular case, people were going crazy for a $1 bill. You would think he was giving out hundreds.
Money's money.
And that's a distraction. That's a distraction to the lecturer. What I do is I bring along little compost bags, little disposable compost bags. People, especially when I'm giving my compost lecture, when people want to learn about, well, what can I compost and how can I compost? And when they ask the special questions, of which there are several, I'll go, ring-a-ding-ding, you won. You won the compost bag. But I'll only do that a couple of times during the lecture because people love to get gifts, let's face it. I mean, that's part of human nature. And everybody's so happy and they'll applaud when somebody wins a little gift. But it is a little gift, and it is a little part of my lecture. Nonetheless, it provides a spark. It's a little something different within the lecture. It's a moment of conjoined enthusiasm in the between the lecturer and the people who are hearing my lecture. So while it's a high point, it's a very brief high point.
Right. And it's relevant, too, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got to be relevant.
Right.
Well, what if you're talking about George Washington in a speech?
That's true.
You're giving out
dollars. $1 bill is there.
That's
relevant. Yeah, well, you can do that, I suppose.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, Colleen, I think a lot of us have had the experience where we've signed up to give a speech at our Toastmasters Club, and we've chosen a topic that maybe we're not totally on fire about, but we chose it just because we wanted to get the assignment completed achieve the award we're going after here. What advice could you give someone who's in a situation like that, where they've chosen a topic that they're not crazy about, but they want to heed your advice to add some enthusiasm to that presentation?
That is an excellent opportunity to stretch one's thinking. That's the time. For instance, I was asked to give a speech at my local Toastmasters on organizing one speech. So I got to thinking, okay, you got to have a beginning, you got to have a middle, you got to have an end. You got to tie it all up together. But in just kind of letting my mind wander for a few minutes, which is easy to do, I thought, okay, you know, we could kind of link that to the human life. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. And then I started thinking about biography as sort of a whole general topic. And all of a sudden, I was into thinking about a next speech and a next speech. I could profile somebody who's important to me, a historical figure. I could do this, I could do that. So I think the secret is to find a link. And sometimes that link is going to be maybe a little loose, but there's always something there. There's always something that we can find more enthusiasm for, something that is more to our liking or to our interest. I think part of it is self-discipline, too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do have to give speeches in both in Toastmasters and in life that we might not be terribly thrilled with, but there's always a nugget of something that's more pertinent to us.
Right. Just got to dig a little bit to find it, I guess.
Absolutely.
Very good. Colleen, one of the more sophisticated suggestions in your article, not to suggest that some of your suggestions were unsophisticated, maybe advanced is a better word. You give some advice in terms of making sure you're engaging the entire audience, even those who are not necessarily interested in the topic. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that. How do you reach out to people in the room? Often we hear the advice, if people are zoning out, just kind of ignore them, focus on the people who are smiling and nodding their heads. So how do you reach out to those people who just don't seem very interested?
It is easiest to be attuned to the people who are smiling, the people who are laughing, the people who are obviously with you. But it's a speaker's challenge to get to those people who aren't, those people who are kind of sitting there with their legs crossed and you know they're someplace else. So I do several things, nothing very fancy, but I will move among the audience, if at all possible, depending on the venue. I will walk up and down the aisle. I will speak directly to that person whose interest is elsewhere. I'll ask a general question that might perhaps engage that person. I will use a very powerful pause, as I mentioned before. The other thing I do is I like to use very active verbs, and then I'll sort of act them out. I'll use, for instance, instead of saying fought or argue, I'll use the word pummel, and I'll make a sort of a fake boxing move. If I use the word pussyfoot, I'm going to like tiptoe around the audience. And you know what? The audience becomes very interested. Even those people who are sort of marginally interested, they want to see what this speaker is doing. This isn't an ordinary speaker. This is someone who's out and doing interesting things. So I find that those are some of the ways that I can engage those people. And it does become a challenge. A professional speaker, that's one of the things that we need to learn how to do and to constantly improve those things.
Very good. Now, that reminds me of an example used earlier as you were speaking, and it's in your article as well, the exchange of energy between the speaker and the audience. Could you talk about that image a little bit?
That is the Holy Grail, isn't it? That's what we're all about. When that exchange of energy happens, that's the magic circle. You're imparting something, knowledge, information, something that they want or need to learn, and oh my gosh, you've connected. And it's coming right back at you. It's almost a visible vibe. It is a circle. It's a circle of energy. It's a circle of knowledge. It's a circle almost of friendship because you can feel the good feelings coming back and forth. And when that happens, when that magic moment happens, I find that I am ever more interested and I want to reach greater heights in my speaking because I've achieved that. And I know that what I've done is given them something very valuable, not just the information that I was hired to give them, but I have given them an experience. I have given them an entertaining and interesting hour in their life. And it is a circle. When it works, it's a circle.
An hour that they'll never forget, no doubt.
That's right. That's my goal.
In the magazine, in the article, you have a section on inject passion and pizzazz. What exactly is the difference between the two, if there is one?
Passion, to me, is a deeply felt. For instance, my topics do tend to be ecologically motivated, and I'm very concerned about the environment and organic gardening and growing plants well and healthy food. I'm passionate about that. And it shows in how I speak to my audiences about those. But the zeal is how I present those topics. I really think in order to be a very effective speaker. You have to care deeply about what you're speaking, although you can fake it to some extent. Sure. But the very best speakers care deeply about their topics. But getting it across, you can care deeply about your topic and still be dull as dishwater.
Right.
But that's easy to do. So it really becomes a matter of practicing. It becomes a matter of seeking the powerful words. It becomes a matter of making notes, mental notes, while you're doing your presentation. What works? What doesn't work? What falls flat? What turns your audience off? But what engages their attention?
Right.
And one, the speaker builds on that and becomes a better speaker.
Right. Yeah, something you said reminded me of one of my famous quotes. It has to do with enthusiasm. And really, faked enthusiasm is sort of like bad acting. Because not too many of us are very good actors. We just can't do it. We can't pull it off no matter how hard we try. And it shows. And I think any one of us that has sat through a speech where somebody has been acting and really not into the material, it shows right through. And you could tell. It's just like you're watching a bad movie.
That's right. It's fake, isn't it? It's fake.
It is. So the solution to that you're suggesting is to perhaps change your topic. Speak on something that you really are passionate about. Therefore, you don't have to act.
That is exactly right. If you start from a place that you're crazy about, it just really matters to you what happens with this particular topic, and you want to teach people about it. And that's another thing. We speakers, we're educators. We're out there teaching people things that are important to us. And it's wonderful when you can make your living teaching people things that you care about. And once you care about those and you put your speeches together and you present them to your audiences, it's not fake, because what you feel can come through. Now, here's where the practice part comes, because you can feel that deeply, but you need to get it across to your audience, too. And that does take skill, that does take practice, but it is predicated upon the passion.
Hmm. Gotcha. So passion is not enough. It needs more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, if passion were enough, then everybody would be a great speaker. Yeah. That's passionate about something, but that's just not the case.
I've got another question for you, Colleen. Before the show, Bo and I were talking about the situation where someone is so passionate about a singular topic, and maybe they even joined Toastmasters because that's something they do professionally, like gardening, for example, you know, in your case. And it can maybe get to the point where every time the speaker gets up to speak, people in the audience feel, oh, geez, here's Ryan with another speech about fill in the blank. I just kind of wonder your thoughts on that. Is that something that a Toastmasters member should be conscious of when speaking in the club, or that should they say, hey, I'm paying my dues like everyone else. I'll get up there and speak about whatever I want to speak about.
As often as I want to.
Yeah. I think you have to be sensitive to your audience, no matter who your audience is. And you don't want your audience groaning when you get up there to speak for the 10th time on whatever it is.
Right.
So this is an opportunity to grow as a speaker, because there's always little links. I know I'm very interested in certain aspects of organic gardening. And so when I first started my lecture career, I had like one lecture, and it went off very well. I did it several times, but then I thought, okay, what else? What else am I interested in? What might be tied to this, but that I could expand into a full lecture? And by golly, grew by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I had topic after topic that were sort of linked to the beginning topic, but they stood on their own. And I think as Toastmasters, we need to do this. We need to, whatever our goals are within Toastmasters, if it's only to get our CC, we need to think about professionalizing. And by that, I mean increasing one's skills, honing one's skills, getting out there and stretching, which, of course, is what Toastmasters is all about, helping us to be leaders, helping us to be speakers. And I think if one just takes a look at that topic that they just are really so interested in, there's all kinds of aspects that one can spin off of that. And then maybe the audience won't groan every time they stand up.
Right. So, Colleen, I have to say your enthusiasm has been contagious throughout this interview. So
I can't sit still.
I appreciate that. And the whole time I've been thinking I would love to see Colleen speak in person. But could you share with Bo and I, as well as our listeners, about your most recent book, Mentors in the Garden of Life?
Yes, my most recent book is a garden memoir. And what I have done is take a compilation of stories ranging from the 1950s through the present day mm-hmm. about people who have taught me lessons in life and lessons in horticulture. I put them together in a book called Mentors in the Garden of Life. And it really is a series of some funny, some sad, some interesting, some teaching moments, but a way that we can look at and honor the people who taught us all kinds of lessons in life. It is a gardening book in a sense, but in a larger sense, it's a memoir.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
And where could we find this wonderful book?
This wonderful book is available at bookstores everywhere. It's also available on my website, and my website is simply my name, www.colleenplimpton.com.
All right.
Very good, Colleen.
It's been wonderful speaking with you. Exciting stuff. Good information for any Toastmaster. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. You take care.
All the best, Colleen.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wonderful stuff. Really good stuff.
Definitely.
Enthusiasm is always a key topic in Toastmasters, isn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing worse than sitting through a speech of an unenthusiastic speaker. If the speaker's not enthusiastic or interested in what they're talking about, the audience certainly sure will not be.
That's for sure. All right. So if you do have any listener feedback for this episode or any others, we'd love to hear from you. And how could they give us feedback, Ryan?
Folks can give us a call at 1-888-451-8862. That's our listener feedback voicemail line. You have up to 2 minutes to leave us your voice feedback. You can also send us an email, podcast@toastmasters.org, post on our blog at toastmasterspodcast.com, or find us on Twitter at @TMPodcast.
All right. Until next time, my name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we will see you later. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com. And let us know how we can help you.